Maybe he is Festival.
He might be.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe Brad Parker is Festival. You heard it here first.
It's the beginning of December. It's Christmas season. We all seem to either have our plaid or our Christmassy something on. I'm into it. We have a fire going on upstairs. I have Christmas music. I love Christmas music. I don't know about you guys. I like good Christmas music. I like bad Christmas music. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit. This is going to be an unusual show. I'm Barry. That's Russ. That's Brian. Welcome to the What Podcast. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. You had a later night than me. How are you doing?
I'm survived. We did Main Time 24 here in Chattanooga, which was a big 24-hour block party. There's a parade. There's events. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So, yeah, that's what we ended up doing. And I stayed out a bit later than you did, it sounds like. But
Brian calls it the greatest day of the year.
I agree. It is the greatest day of the year.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's I would call it our signature event here in town. For the quickest backstory, without boring people who don't know or care about the small community events of the city we live in, a bunch of people just put together a block party. I mean, that's the best way to put it. And it's stretched out over the course of about 20 blocks now. And 17 years in, and we've been just about anybody who considers themselves cool or
it's
hip,
a hipster event,
hip or into the scene whatsoever has at least, I don't mean goes every year and participates, but I mean at least recognizes that it is the event that most of us all look forward to. And this has kind of turned into for me that if the headline isn't, well, this one sucked. Well, there's not really any more new, different this year than any other year. It's kind of like, well, it's just another Pearl Jam concert, or it's just another, I almost could say Bonnaroo. Was Bonnaroo good? Of course it was good. It was great. Well,
part of the reason it's interesting and I bring it up is because Russ drives the bus and you go with him. So it's a little bit more than just you stood
on a
sidewalk.
It's not just that I drive the bus. It's that the bus is in a parade.
Correct. Yeah. That's what I meant.
What better way to steal someone else's ideas and thoughts and use them all about your own to draw attention to yourself? Yeah. Look for the Westphalia bus. It's Lord Tacos. But I'll be there doing all this stuff. Check out me. Look at me.
Well, yeah, I'm the one driving, but you and whoever else we have riding with us, your job is to pass out candy, Jello shots, beers, you know, whatever we have. And we always, you know, run into a bunch of people we know driving down through the you know, it's packed on both sides with people.
Yeah, the Jello shot has become synonymous with this event. It's almost like a logo of sorts. Like here, I don't know where it happens. This is a grassroots thing that started in 07.
Yeah,
and it's just become what it is. There are no rules. Like, here's the list. Y'all check them off and make sure everybody does it. It's just become what it's become. And I made 100 Jello shots, Barry. 100.
We gave them all away, too.
And we gave them all away. And, boy, we could have given away 300 without even trying. Yeah. I've never made Jello before or Jello shots. It was interesting.
That's why I bring it up. I think that's so cool. It's fun.
Interesting. Time in my life to start making Jello shots.
Yeah, put lights, decorations, you know, garland all over the bus. Get it all tackified for Christmas. You know, have a tree inside, a little mini tree, and
in the end, it's kind of our Christmas party for the hipsters in town. And
it is.
It was to help revitalize and gentrify, if that's the word you want to use, a certain part of town that in the last 20 years has gone from crime. And insert anything you could guess from a mid-sized downtown city and turned it into one of our favorite places of the city. So.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, 20-something years ago, Main Street is not a place you would want to be anywhere near.
What was it? Our friend Dixie, and again, we're being local, but Dixie's wife said you could get a speedball, a blowjob, and a bag of weed.
Ragweed, too. Yeah. Ragweed.
That's where you went was Main Street.
Yeah, I worked down a block away downtown for all during those years, 2002 to 2000, we'll call it 15 or so, when things really started to turn around. And you left your car doors unlocked just in the parking lot of your work. Well, you weren't going to have anything left in it when you got out there. Nowadays, you know, it's as nice as it gets.
It's a cool place to hang out.
Yeah, so. Nowadays there's all kinds of cool bars, restaurants, little boutique shops. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. It really is. And you can just walk up and down the street, and there's events happening all over the place. We did after the parade, we went straight to the chili eating competition, right?
Yeah, that's a regular stop. They were about out by the time we got there. It was so crowded yesterday with one of the better weather days we've had in a long time. And then it's just like a Bonnaroo thing in a sense that it's a choose your own adventure. Like there's 150 events, and they're not like these massive events, but they're all little pop up small things you can take your kids. It's very family friendly. But it's also
despite the Jello shots.
Yeah,
despite the talk about the Jello shots, it's very family friendly.
It's
dog
friendly. Yeah, bring your kids.
Just hang out.
Super family friendly. Yeah. But it is a drinking event. Let's not mistake this.
Oh yeah.
For anything other than a drinking event, and the main reason I call it pretty early most nights these years, and well, it's for I would call it early in the older years too. Is that the drinking starts to pick up towards the evening when all the live music hits, and I just that's a scene I can't really handle as much anymore. But years ago, I still called it early because we were drinking at 9 a.m. while we were getting in the parade.
you got to start
in the morning.
Exactly.
Right.
So by the my whenever someone just says just quickly because it always comes up because it's everybody's so excited as it gets here. What are your plans? What are you doing? I'm like. If I'm not home or where I'm going to be for the night by halftime of the SEC game, something's not going right around here. I'm not sure what it is. But that was pretty much the plan yesterday. So, yeah, it was big time. But, yeah, just another year, another good year.
Well, I was out late, and actually I just picked the bus up. I parked it on Main Street and left it overnight. I got a ride. I just got that home.
I look like I was out late with him, but I wasn't. I was just laying in bed all day.
Oh man, and it's not a problem, but it's so funny. You look in the bus in the floor. There's just all kinds of candy that was left over, and empty beer cans, and empty Jello shot containers, and I mean, it looks like a bomb went off. I did get to see Lillian. They played at 5 at Boneyard.
Nice.
So got to see that. That was fun. And then just ended up walking. Wow, we went everywhere. I ended up buying. PAX was the place we ended up at towards the end of the night. So that's where I closed it out was PAX.
Nice.
And so, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was fun.
Quite an adventure. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. So obviously you can tell we're going to be all over the place today. This is going to be our end of, I don't know, Russ, is this end of season 7, season 8? Are we going to go ahead and make this official and we'll start back in January?
We'll wrap up this episode today, and that'll be it for season 7 because we're going to take a little break here over the next few weeks, and then we'll be back in January when there's a lineup to talk about.
Yeah, 2024 is gone with the wind as far as I'm concerned at this point. But
we say it every year, but we got the Spotify Wrapped.
Let's talk about this for a minute.
And congratulations, Russ, because that's all on you, brother. You do so much work, and Brian and I talk about it, but we appreciate you. Those numbers came in. They look good, and that's all about your hard work, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's not just me. I mean, it's everyone that listens, too. We appreciate
everyone. Well, I mean, my hair carries a lot. It goes a long way. I get that.
It's a good head of hair. Yeah. It's a good head of hair there, Barry.
Incredible amount of growth, both Spotify and YouTube. I mean, we just have – been killing it lately.
Well,
let's
spend a minute on this. I got a couple things real quick.
Let me start.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to do this because we probably have a lot of new listeners. You probably don't even know. We started this show in 2018. It was Brad Steiner, myself, and I were having lunch, and we said we need to talk about Bonnaroo because we talk about Bonnaroo every time we have lunch every week. So we started this silly show. And we thought it'd be 3 months, and he knew Russ. I didn't know Russ. He knew Lord Taco. Came up with a website. Taco built it. We had that thing going 4 days later, and here we are, almost eight seasons later. We love Bonnaroo. Brian was a regular contributor since the beginning.
Yeah, the easiest job in the world. Just show up occasionally and get reap all the benefits.
Get a good ticket. And Brad decided about a year ago, I guess, or January.
It's been a year.
He too many things going on. He's a program director. I don't know what his title is up in New York. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, gets paid way too much to do very little in New York.
And big good on his radio guy up in New York.
Good on him for it.
Yeah, he's in New York. He's got like three radio stations across the country, doesn't he? Doesn't he have Chicago?
It might be more like six.
Big markets. It's probably more by now. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just for those people who are like, who are these?
Yeah, who are these idiots in their pajamas?
Yeah. You know, whatever. In their pajamas.
Talking about Jell-O shots.
Talking about Jell-O shots.
In some city I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all live pretty much in Chattanooga, but we've been going to Bonnaroo. Brian's been every year. I went to the first one, didn't go for 4 years, been every year since 7. Russ has been every year since 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once we started this, the website.
Once we started, yeah, that was the first one I went to, minus the two that were canceled, of course.
Correct. So that's who we are. We love it. We are obsessed with it. We love the sausage making. We love talking to people about it. We love everything about it.
Yeah,
so
what's coming into the new year, we'll have more from just... I've been enjoying just kind of finding random, you know, people who have not necessarily sanctioned by Bonnaroo to do things that have created their own thing, and we're going to have more of those kinds of guests into the new year.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly why I wanted to do sort of the backstory, because we have gotten a lot of emails recently from people who want to come on the show to talk about their relationship with this festival.
Yeah,
it's incredible. I mean, we've said this since the jump, and that's why we keep doing it, and that's why we are able to do it weekly. We're not the only ones. There are so many groups and people that have such a tie to this festival and festivals in general, but specifically Bonnaroo. And I can't wait for next year.
Yeah, so bring on any suggestions. Yeah, we can't promise that we're going to get to it. We all have real jobs, real lives, and real stuff, so we got to sift through all this. But you're not wasting your time by making contact with us. We don't have a department of interns that just, like, you know, go through our spam filters or whatever. We go through it all ourselves, and we appreciate all the suggestions. And if we can get to it, we will.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's comments at thewhatpodcast.com if you want to reach out.
There you go. But we have so many, and I wanted to sort of tie it up, I guess, if the right thing, because thank you.
Well, this all that ties in good enough, too, because it's a real legitimate question by me. So I first saw the Spotify Wrapped. We all know, you know, it's a brilliant thing they do. I mean, just the way it's curated to be automatically shared to your social, like, you don't have to do anything. You just go, I'll share that one, and I'll share that one. And then, yeah, a lot of people think it's some kind of look at me, and of course it is, but that's what all social media is, so stop. Like, if you think that, if that's a problem for you, then I don't know what we're doing here. And what, there's so many worse things you can be doing with your time on social media than sharing what music you like. That's like the most innocuous, perfectly easy, simple, what you should do with social media thing out there.
Right.
And people are killing people for it. And I would have done the same thing 15 years ago. I get it. So I think it's pretty cool. But beyond that, so beyond just that it's neat and that we all somewhat enjoy it, the numbers, I always, you know, junk data and polling drives me crazy sometimes. So I start to wonder. I start to see my local music friends, and I start to see my people who do whatever, and I see everybody's up 150%. Everybody's up, you know, all this. I think that's more of a product of, well, if I'm way down, I'm not going to share it. I think it might be more of that. I also think it might be a little bit of fudging the numbers by Spotify to make everybody feel like they're having the greatest time of their life. But they're real numbers that you can look yourself. I mean, Taco, you can pull every number you want. You don't need Spotify Wrapped to tell you that. Long, long, long way to get to a question. Where would you guys suggest, because this is a multi-platform show here, someone says, hey, I want to, you got a podcast, you got a video cast, you got a show. That's cool. Where should I find it? What would that answer be for you guys? Is it YouTube? Is it as simple as saying YouTube?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a short answer.
It's funny because I have people say, where can I find your podcast? Well, it's thewhatpodcast.com. But then I'm like, but go to YouTube because those are the numbers that
That's the numbers matter. We want the most.
Yeah, that's the ones we want.
Selfishly, and, those are the numbers we want the most. But the next time I sit down and watch a video cast on YouTube, won't be the first, but it'll be the first time I did it deliberately, right? Like, so I'm a Spotify guy. I love Spotify. I listen to everything through Spotify. But I quickly went through it. They're a behemoth. I didn't quite realize they were this big as just from their streaming platform. 640 million monthly users. YouTube Music, only around 100. Apple, only around 100. YouTube overall is billions. But that's not the behemoth that it is itself.
Right. Yeah, so, YouTube is the biggest video platform in the world.
But so like YouTube Music, Apple, other places to listen to podcasts, they're like a third combined, about half of the combined size of Spotify all the way around. So that just got me wondering, like, how much of those numbers matter? Well, the more I look at this, they matter a lot. So anyway, that just made my simple question, where should people watch?
Well, I listen in the car, so obviously I'm not watching YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We're both audio and video, and whether you prefer, so a lot of people do like to watch, you know, a podcast rather than just listen.
Lots of people do. I don't understand. But
if you're in the car, you want to just put on a podcast, or maybe you're going out for a run, or you know you're doing dishes or something. You don't necessarily have it on that you're actively watching, but it's something you're still listening to. So Spotify is good for either one because we do have video on Spotify now too.
Yeah, that's a cool thing they've integrated to. Yeah. So I mean, there are no wrong answers. Find the show and listen, and we love you to death. But
and thank
you. We don't care where you listen.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't care either, but it did just pop into my head while I was going through these and was kind of shocked by how big Spotify was compared to the others.
Yeah, that if that's a good point.
You know, if someone said, what's the best place? And I would default to YouTube, but I think my default was probably the right answer.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all. On that one anyway.
Again, like I said, we're going to jump all over the place. What news? Do we have actual Bonnaroo news? Because what we're going to do here in a little bit, we're going to share. I ask you guys to share your top five vinyl choices. If you had to recommend, or I forgot how I phrased it, because you could.
I've got two different lists that bounce around the orbit what you were asking for, and I'm not sure if they'll fit in or not, but I do have one piece of news, Bonnaroo, but go ahead. And then
let's skip the news.
Let me set the show up a little bit. So I won't say who, because I don't think she'll be listening, but somebody's getting a turntable for Christmas. So the question was, all right, what do you buy for that person? A starter kit, a vinyl starter kit.
Yeah, you can't get somebody a turntable and not at least include a record.
You got to have some records. And so that's when I reached out to you guys and said, what would be your top five starter kits? And that's how we're going to go. Obviously, that can go, I mean, you know, it depends on the age, it depends on the time of year, but whatever. I said it to you guys. I told Russ before you got on, Brian. Seemed like an easy question when I ask it.
And there it never
has,
is easy.
It has hair-lipped me for 2 days. I thought I had it, but we're going to do that. And then I have a Christmas gift of my own for you guys at the end with a little bit of a history thing. But before we do that, yeah, what sort of news? What we need to again? This is second week of December. We know there's rumors. We know the lineup is coming in a month. We're going to take some time off.
It'll be here before you know it. But let's
just talk Christmas and have some fun. So
the only thing I saw digging through things after our event yesterday was over the weekend, I should say, is another Rue Clue, right? Hot Mulligan. Are you familiar with this?
Not at all.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. But at least on this Rue Clue, once I saw the name Hot Mulligan, there was somebody playing golf. So, like, okay, I see where you might have got that one. And going back to last week when both me and Barry were like, these clues are like making me cross-eyed.
Yeah, I still don't get them.
But so Hot Mulligan, who is, and that, and I didn't see a confirmation on this from anywhere, but I saw people talking about it enough that I believe that that looks like that's to be true. So who is Hot Mulligan? Did a quick little just mini look into this. Their roots on paper go back to 2014. The AI Google, like, just quick pull said the band members are between the ages of 24 and 27. So we'll just, I'm gonna assume they're closer to later 20s. And this stuff is what I wrote down. I'll say newer because they're a 10-year-old band, but new wave emo pop punk. I believe if you hear them and hear that description, you'll be like, that's exactly what it is. It's okay. Pop, it's punk, yeah. It's emo.
Okay.
And it's kids, though, I did the math, that's why I looked up their age, that when emo was exploding 22 years ago, they were like 4.
Yeah.
Or 6. Yeah. Or 5. I mean, they were old enough to hear the new song and bop to it, right? Like, so they weren't babies, but they were very, very young. And then in 2014, 2015, they leaned heavy into that sound, and I guess that's why they didn't take off, because in 2015, emo was as
it moved.
Dead as grunge.
I moved mean, on.
Nobody listened to emo in 2015, but it is, if you like that kind of music, they're from Lansing, Michigan, and that's what they do. I'm guessing they're a 1 or 2 o'clock this or that on any day of the festival, or a Thursday night this or that. That would be what I would guess on the little bit of limited information on Hot Mulligan. So now we're looking at Tipper, Hot Mulligan, and Glass Animals, right? That's what we're...
Yes, and Justice.
Oh, wait, that's right, and Justice.
That was another festival leak that came out this week.
Half of those I'd never heard of before this the other week.
I went back and listened to our interview with David and Lauren and Brian.
Great interview.
You nailed it with David talking about Tipper. I'm with you. I'm in.
He made it sound fun,
to that show, right?
Yeah.
Well, but you don't come out of the UK and then have recognition across the globe, and you know, 30 years ago, and not have something pretty special on, you know.
True. And if it's one of the last shows he's going to play, that's reason enough to go check it out.
We on our text thread, we were talking about things that you know we're suckers for. I'm a sucker for a final show ever if they're ever real, but you know, they rarely are, but in this case it might be. So yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I like this round of Rue Clues so far anyway.
What other news?
We had an Electric Forest lineup drop also come out, and Brad Parker, he mentioned somewhere
that three
of the top 12 on Electric Forest overlaps with Rue, and one in the first group under that overlaps with Rue.
He's throwing so many grenades.
I know. He's like
having
trying
a good
to
time.
Put the
Maybe he is
together.
Festival.
He might be.
Right?
Yeah. He's
Maybe Brad Parker is Festival.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Everybody's trying to go look at that lineup and try to figure out who it is.
Next
obviously
thing
Justice
God
is
damn
on
it, I'm not
Force.
Festival! What
yeah.
are y'all saying on that show?
Starting rumors.
Yeah, it's so funny. That's cool, though. All right, what else?
Yeah.
I love the news. We do this every week. Russ sits there and he has this, and I'm like, we're almost done. And then Russ says, nope, here, I got 18,000 more things I want to talk about. But go.
Go ahead, Russ. What do you got?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. So
that was it. I mean, Rue Clues, some leaks, and then all that. So I think that's all the Bonnaroo news.
And then you had a few things we pulled from socials that we could respond to at some point before we get out of here. But yeah,
we're not done. I wasn't insinuating that,
but yeah, we're a scattered mess today.
Yeah, we're just having fun. All right, so...
Yeah, but if you want to keep talking about my bus some more, that's fine, too.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we asked people, because again, you know, being selfish, what are your five albums? And we had a lot of answers. And some of these lists, and Russ, I'll let you go through them, but I have nothing but respect. I mean, Bonnaroo Dude, Zaba, I don't know, Glass Animals, Tyler Childers, Hozier, Frank Sinatra. Sinatra got a lot of comments, which I love. George Michael, Bing, gotta love Bing. Neil Young, I mean, everybody's all over
Neil Young. Decades is one of the suggestions. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna start with Neil Young and you're not, you only know maybe
Yellow
a handful,
Moon, Hitchhiker,
start with Decade.
Dylan, Bowie, Elton John. What else, Russ? I'm stepping on you. I was going to ask you.
Well, there was one comment that went a completely different way because we didn't really, we just said, you know, top five. Someone went and said, you know, like a good turn to, like, obviously turntable, but then also like a stand, a place to store vinyl so they don't warp, you know, place to show them off, you know, just, which is part of it. I mean, you know, yes, the records are part of it, but
yeah, some of us like to show them off there.
Yeah,
Russ,
hang them on the wall. Yeah,
I was gonna ask about cleaning. I mean, that's mm-hmm. my new thing is how you clean a kit. I still have the old one from Record Bar, believe it or not, that I got probably in the late 70s when I worked there. So people oh, wow. will know. So I still have that.
But, is it that little brush thing that looks like almost yep. like you'd like yep. shine wooden, some shoes?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I've got one of those brushes.
I do too.
Cleans the needle, yeah. I should be able to think of the name. But all right, so thanks, everybody, and we'll share some of those. But I want to hear what you guys think. And again, we alluded to it. You could go so many ways on this. I mean, you could do, you know, Desert Island top five, you could do things you want your kids to have. There's so many answers, so there's no right or wrong. But do you want to go one at a time, or you want to go all the way through your individual fives?
Let's just start right to left. But from my right to left, Russ, you go first and just do let's just do one list that you want to do, whatever it might be. I've got my five favorite that I own. I've got that. I've got a gift-giving suggestion of a list, and that's what I've got. So I've got my five just favorite that I've ever owned, which is not really what you asked, but I don't know exactly what you give people for gifts, except I do have one suggestion that I'll get to.
All right. Well, I'll start with one. This is I got Tales from Topographic Oceans from Yes, which is probably not their most famous album, but it's one of my favorites, and just to give you an idea, this is a double album.
Yep.
And there's four songs total. That's how long these songs are.
Yeah. So to all the jam band people who thought they created that kind of stuff, yeah, right. Check with Yes. And check
yeah,
with
that's
yes
part of why I picked it out, just because it's. I think it's so funny to have a double album, four sides, and then there's four songs,
four songs.
So, because they're like 20-something minutes a piece.
Nice.
This is kind of at the height of they were very experimental, avant-garde. So there's a whole lot of just kind of meandering, you know,
noodling.
Not necessarily a whole cohesive song, but
most 20-minute songs to put on. Meander at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you actually, when's the last time you listened to it?
The actual, like, vinyl?
Yeah.
Or just probably a few days ago I put it
okay.
on.
Okay, all right. Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Solid. All right, what's next?
Oh, let's see. Next, I got Dr. Dog.
Dr. Dog. And,
they have a new album out this year, and this is not the new one, but this is Critical Equation. I think came out 2018.
Surely they played Bonnaroo a couple times, right? Dr. Dog?
Yeah, and hopefully they play again.
I know they played here in Chattanooga several times.
They played Moon River in Chattanooga, and yeah, it seems like they have played Bonnaroo, right?
It feels like there's no chance they haven't played, but
yeah,
we'll know before we wrap this up.
Bonnaroo band, but yeah, I like this record a lot. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, sure, yeah. Why not?
Okay. I also picked out the album Leaf, Between Waves. I don't know if you're familiar with album Leaf.
Immediately, no. I am not.
It's mostly instrumental. It's not, I wouldn't call it electronic. There is some electronic to it, but they also play a lot of real instruments with it. So yeah, this one's a lot of fun to listen to.
Dr. Dog played Bonnaroo in 2014, by the way, to get that.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
What else you got there?
Next up, I have picked Radiohead, and I picked A Moon-Shaped Pool, which I think is their most recent studio album.
I was going to say, that must be new, because I don't know that one.
Fairly new, at least in the last year.
New-ish, not new, new.
New-ish, yeah. yeah, I like it a lot.
Nice.
And just one of those albums that kind of reminds me of winter for some reason. I can't exactly explain why, but it just seems like the kind of thing you'd put on a day like today. Maybe it's the cover art just kind of looks wintry and cold. I don't know.
So our friend Mike Dewar and Chrissy Mintz, you both know, Camp Nut Butter veterans.
Yeah,
we did a similar experiment a couple of years ago where we got together to talk about the albums that influenced our lives the most.
See, that's a whole deeper conversation right there.
We had a good hour and a half, 2 hour conversation, and it's again, there's albums that you pick because they meant something. There's albums you pick because, you know, you show off what a nerd you are, whatever.
Yeah.
But that was a deep, deep conversation. So,
yeah, I bet that was fun.
It was a lot of fun, and we need to do that again sometime.
Yeah, and it's kind of along the same lines. I went with Agaloc.
There you go.
And this is another one. This is The Mantle. It's another one that just, it's not necessarily it's not Christmas, but it's just to me sounds like winter, if that makes sense. It's just this kind of thing that you associate with the time of year.
This sounds a little bit like Russ just kind of showing off his deep roots in music, just for like a Spotify rap style here. Like,
I got to show. I got to tell you how much of a nerd I am.
I'm playing.
No, but that's part of it. Do you pick? And I probably should have said this before you picked. Do you pick albums that you're just showing off? You know, you want to show what a nerd you are? Or
yeah, I didn't know. It's so hard to differentiate. It's Yeah, it's so hard to differentiate because sometimes they're the same thing. But
and you'll
see. And also, some albums came to mind that I was like, "Oh yeah, I should grab that." And I went and looked. I actually don't have some of these on vinyl that I really should.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, of course I also have tapes. I've got cassettes, CDs. You know, we could have gone a lot of different ways, but I just went through my collection, and this is the five that I picked.
No, there's no right or wrong, no judgment.
Yeah, that's what I love about it is it's up to interpretation on top five or best five or starter pack or however you want to do it.
I mean, I'll let you go, Brian, but for me, it was sort of part of it was these are the albums that I want my kids to like. And that's a different thing for me because I have, you know, grandchildren, so... Yeah, you could have gone all kinds of different ways.
Well, that's a good point, too. I didn't think about that because I went with five for me. But, yeah, you're right. If you're picking five, depends on who you're picking it for. You might tailor
changes
it to
everything.
Either
yeah.
What
that's why,
you want
that's why
to
I
experience.
Have two lists. It's really like one and a half lists.
I have a list and some honorables, which is a cheat, but it's the same.
I have a little honorable here, too.
All right. So go ahead, Brian.
Well, those are my five, so I'm
those
done.
Those are your five, yeah.
As y'all know, I tend to like to use these more as visuals than listening, and I, you know, some people give me a little bit of a hard time for that, but I do. If I buy a record, I listen to it immediately, and then I'm a collector in the sense of they don't have to be super limited editions, but there needs to be for me some kind of release that has some kind of, even if it's a fabricated meaning, so like Record Store Day and that kind of things. But so two of them are on the wall. Three of them are on the wall back here. The first one is Transmissions from the Satellite Heart from Flaming Lips in the mid-90s.
Ooh.
And it's the orange vinyl. Now, nowadays, everything is reproduced and everything's coming out on colored vinyl. And I love colored vinyl, but they're reproductions. This was from Old Chad's Records, a classic record shop from the late 20th, 21st century. You guys are well aware.
And, oh, yeah, I miss Chad's a lot.
And the best version
you know
is...
You know who he bought his record, who he bought it from?
The store?
Chad's was originally Quarter Brothers. My brother Bob opened Quarter Brothers, and Chad bought it from my brother Bob.
I didn't know that
I am
either.
Not surprised that there degrees of separation that are very small here, but I didn't know that it was that close.
Yeah, I know Chad very well.
Well, his old... the 90s location, my mom is over nowhere near where I grew up. It's close to where I live, and you are now too, Barry. That old location, my mom would drive me there on Fridays and sit in the car and read a book while I went through records and 14, 15 years old. And I ran into this orange vinyl in 1995. An orange vinyl, any colored vinyl, was very, very different. I mean, it's not like it was unheard of, but you just didn't see it very often. And I picked that up then, and I've kept it ever since, and it's been in a frame for probably 20 years.
Nice.
And the quick Google I've looked on it, I can't almost find it anywhere. And if I have on eBay over the years, hundreds of dollars. That's how limited of a version. I just fell into that one. I thought, hey, neat, orange, I have $20 today. Mm-hmm. And then I walked out the door with it. Somehow I didn't ruin it over the course of the next 30 years. So that is one of my prized possessions. Not so much that I like the Flaming Lips, which I do. It's just because of the circumstances of it.
Love it.
Another one here, our local guy, Nick Lutzko. I've got both of them and his third on the way. But the first one, that Songs in the Computer he released that just exploded virally, that he sold... maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of vinyl of on just these silly, silly, nonsensical things that he does online. It's just I don't have enough time to tell you about it now. An amazing guy with an amazing artist. Yeah. Speaking of the band that Taco saw last night, the guy who was lead singing did that cover art. You know, I don't know where you're seeing this behind me or in front of you now, but it's beautiful for everything from the artwork to the splash vinyl, to the everybody involved in the relationships, makes that one of my favorite records of all time.
Absolutely, yeah. That's Travis Knight that does the artwork.
Yeah, does incredible, incredible work. Mm-hmm. And then Nick himself, just as you know, just the music itself is all you need. And then again, we're talking collectibles, favorites that I own. So the next two, I went ahead and pulled them down real quick. They're all dusty, and of course, yes, they are in.
The
original Street Survivors. It's not in the best condition, and that makes me like it even more. I ended up trading this for bills with somebody when we were in our mid-20s. So, like, paying bills, and we were all roommates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, I'm short on this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll take that Skinner record you got over there, and I don't remember if this paid the electric bill or what. But
first concert ticket I ever bought was Lynyrd Skynyrd, $5.50, Memorial Auditorium. The plane went down about 3 weeks before the show.
There's so many of those stories out there.
Him. Yeah.
So I'm a big Lynyrd Skynyrd fan. I wish they'd stop making music now. It's embarrassing. They should stop immediately.
it's not good.
I agree.
Never do this ever again. Stop staining an amazing Southern American brand. Anywho, I still 100%. Love them. But in this, if you look real close, you might probably already know this, Barry. That is Neil Young's Tonight's Tonight record on Ronnie Van Zant's shirt.
You know, everybody always thought didn't like each other.
That was all
Southern man and all. They had a lot of respect.
They loved each other.
Much respect.
Maybe at first there was a little bit, but overall,
I hope Neil Young will remember Southern Man.
Southern Man, don't name him around.
Yeah. Anyhow.
And that's in response to the song Southern Man and Alabama. The song Alabama, from which we'll come back in just a second.
Yeah, Neil doesn't like many people, but he liked Skynyrd.
Neil's difficult. He's a difficult guy. Difficult Canadian there who likes to tell America what to do.
Yeah.
And I agree with a lot
Crosby,
of it.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah, a multi-global band that tells us what to do.
Right.
And so then this one falls in because it is the actual record of Neil Young that he's wearing. Mm-hmm. So I put them on the wall side by side.
Nice.
Little juxtaposition kind of thing. This thing's worth $8, right?
Yeah.
That's not a limited run of any kind.
I like
those are kind of a combo display piece. And then my fifth one on the list of just favorites forever, I had to do a split. It's one, it's AB, and they're original records from my dad's collection, which I have a very nice, great original. It's still very mass produced, so that none of them are very special edition or anything. But Allman Brothers' Eat a Peach and Neil Young, back to Neil Young, Neil Young's Harvest. Dang. I have both of those from their original, you know, from the 70s, and they are in pristine, mint, beautiful condition, and they've been that way because they've been in the family ever since 1970. Barry, help me out. Eat a Peach and Harvest. 72?
Ooh. Yeah, early 70s.
72, I think.
74, but you're probably
between right. 72 and 74 sounds about right. Those two records have survived three changeovers of ownership, and they 72. Are still in pristine, beautiful, like, they're not in, they're just in my stack in the garage. God, but plus, they're great, right? They're just great albums. I mean, front to back, fabulous albums. So that's my favorite, like, on my list of collectibles. I'll give you the quickest gift running list if you want to go Barry first.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead with your second five or your...
Okay, it's super fast. It's... Yep. I already kind of just gave away what I was going to say with it. As far as gift giving, because that's kind of where this started. And it's a good question because there's a lot. I mean, it's so trendy to do records, and I love it. I think that's so cool.
Right.
But I don't know. There's so many. Like, there's so many to choose from. So exactly. My thought is, if you are, just like I did with Chapel Roan and that peach vinyl the other week, that's not, there's 100 million of those out there. That's not worth any more than the dollar amount that I spent on it. So that would be one example. But record store day releases, even if they're not current, like record store day release from 5 years ago, which would actually be even more valuable. If you're buying for a family member or a friend or whoever it might be, find out who they love, and then look for one of those record store day releases from one of those bands, because you're giving them something you know they like. Because you know they like the band or the artist, and you're giving them something that is of a limited run. And so it's got that kind of stuff means a lot to me. I know to younger people, I mean, when I mean, kid, like, yeah, we're talking 15 year old or 19 year old, big deal. If they hold on to it and it lasts and it makes it 10, 20 more years, it will be a big deal.
I like it.
And because it's got that limited run, and it's like collecting baseball cards or coins or anything else. And so I would look at record store day releases from the last 10 years of the person you want to buy for. And if they don't like that, then they don't like you.
And I, along those lines, what I love is the releases that are coming out are really quality. They're 80 gram.
180 gram.
180 gram.
That's like, I think that's the highest level of vinyl. Yeah.
So I have several.
There ain't no breaking that. Like
Billie Eilish,
days.
Those, they sound, people say, oh, the pops and the this and the that, and they sound amazing when you get them. So that, there's that, and then there's the old, and they're two different things, but that's a whole nother, we can go down that road. I agree with you. All right, so
it's your turn, Barry.
All right, so my list, I went all kinds of ways, but mine is you guys. It's about as obvious as it can be.
Beatles 1, Beatles 2, Beatles 3, Beatles 4.
Yeah, I went with, these are the albums that you should
have. I know their albums aren't called numbers.
No, but these are the albums that you should have in your collection, in my opinion. Beatles, Sgt. Pepper, obviously. And I could have gone Abbey Road, but to me, Sgt. Pepper is more universe. Most people like it. You're gonna know those songs.
Real quick, Barry, but my dad was not a huge music head, but a little bit. But he was a big trendy pop culture guy.
Right.
So I have every Carole King. I have every Beatles. I have every, not every, but many of Elton John, Jim Croce, whatever at that time was anywhere near the charts up here. He owned it. And then now I do. So I have a huge Beatles collection. I have Sgt. Pepper's. As you know, I'm not a big Beatles guy.
I'm assuming you have a lot of Boston and Foreigner and all that stuff.
Boston,
too.
There's Foreigner. There's
I have none. I have no Boston, no Foreigner.
Thankfully, there's Doors in there because I'm a big Doors guy. I mean, it is a monster. It is remarkable how well, of all the things I've destroyed in my life through negligence and just poor behavior, that I've kept that record collection as perfect as it was when I inherited it in 1997 or whenever
that
was.
That's pretty solid.
So anyway.
I missed the 80s, Foreigner, Boston, and all that. I was more into the Ramones.
Yeah. That was more eclectic outside of the trend zone. And so I've got, geez, a few just other popped into my head. Jesus Christ, Superstar, you know, just start naming anything that was a big seller in the 70s, and I probably own it. Tapestry, Carole King, speaking of her, you know, like I've.
Fogelberg.
Yeah, there's got to be Fogelberg in there.
I can't stand Fogelberg.
I don't necessarily either. I started listening to some. I was like, actually, this guy's not so bad after all.
No, it's not, but it was so. I think I posted on Facebook the other day, you couldn't walk by a Celica in the 70s and not hear Fogelberg.
I bet. But I got Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, you know, all the classics. All the classics that I would never purchase myself. Pink Floyd, The Wall. I mean, the whole with the pull-out poster and everything. So I've got all those.
So when I was working at Record Bar in 1979, The Wall came out. Michael Jackson's Thriller came out. And what was the other one? I mean,
that's an exciting day at the record store.
Three
now.
Of the biggest albums of all time. Yeah, amazing. Thriller should have been on my list, and it's top 10. Along those lines, and it's funny you say that, because I was such a music snob, I couldn't stand them at the time because they were so popular. But now, Back in Black is one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah, I know you've really had a late life resurgence with AC/DC.
Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. It's a perfect record from start to finish. So it's definitely on my list. Marvin Gaye's What's Going On is another. Those three, to me, everybody should have in their collection. To me, there's no argument.
I don't think there's any AC/DC in that old inherited collection, and I know there's not. What's the last one you just said?
Well, the Beatles, Marvin Gaye, and
Marvin
AC/DC.
Gaye, and there's not Marvin Gaye. I don't own any of those.
So Marvin, What's Going On was top five on the Rolling Stone top albums of all time.
And really?
It jumped to number one last year. It kicked the Beatles down a notch.
Huh.
It's so good. It's perfect.
Rolling Stone needed some extra engagement.
Yeah,
that
I mean, those lists, you know, those lists are so funny because, like, R.E.M. used to be on it, and then nobody talks about R.E.M. anymore. You know, I mean, it all depends on who's making the list.
The age-old thing here with you know, engagement-designed discussion is a list.
Correct.
And nothing will get what I was our buddy here, local guy, Sean Phipps, that used to be in media around here. I didn't quite think about it this way. I talked to him one day. It was like five best or whatever. Pick three, pick two of the worst, put them on there, throw them out there and let them just ravish it. And I was like, I don't know. I thought I was smarter than that. I thought I would have guessed that already, but that's
he's 100%.
F the list up on purpose. So you get everybody mad.
People can't resist to leave a comment.
I know.
That's right. Start it up. And so I've got, just to put something current, and because it's a Bonnaroo, My Morning Jacket's Golden, their live album from 2004,
Four.
In the Rain, yeah. show.
Yeah. That is, I'm glad you mentioned
that. I knew that had to be on your list,
Yeah, it's a great album, and I'm so glad to have it.
See, that's a perfect example of a record that I do need to own that I don't need to listen to. I mean, I've heard it, but I need that in a frame somewhere with my Bonnaroo stuff because that is, you know, I wasn't at that show.
Jim James holding up the V
guitar. I won't lie and say I was there. I certainly could get away with that lie if I want to. I wasn't, but I've certainly heard and watched the whole show.
And that's one of my favorite interviews that we did. You remember Russ, him talking about
Me too.
If lightning hit him and killed him right then, he'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, what a powerful, powerful story.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good one you guys had.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with, I wrote down because I didn't think about Eat a Peach, but man, that's a good one.
It's just such a beautiful record, you know, and classically awesome from the 70s, but it's just such a beautiful looking record.
It defines an era. You can't put that on and not.
I wish I had it out here.
Transported.
Those who don't know, when you open it up, it's just that entire ethos of the mushrooms and the trippiness of the Southern rock. It's like best laid out in an artwork form from Eat a Peach.
It's perfect. I also had on my list the Pretenders' first record because it also is perfect. It's hard to imagine that those Eat a Peach was, you know, such an early defining album for those guys, but the Pretenders record was the same. But my fifth is Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. And I'm putting it on there partly to go back to Russ's, you know, it's a total nerd thing just so I can say I had some jazz on there and, you know, oh, isn't he cool? But oh, man, right. I listen to that record all the time.
That on CD. I don't have it in vinyl.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
A list is way more than just spit out five names.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, they're whatever strategy you use, I'm never going to knock that game, knock that hustle.
So those are good lists. I knew you would. Both surprised me. I'm not sure if I surprised anybody with mine because it's pretty straightforward. But ask me again tomorrow. I'll come up with another five.
It'll change.
It could change depending on just your mood, what day it is, what time of year it is. Yeah.
It's fluid. But this brings up an often asked question of maybe the last 25 years or 50 or however long as this has slowly moved away. The idea of crafting and developing an album, a record, a LP, of 1 to 10, 12 songs. I'm not saying concept albums because those are different, but that art form isn't gone, but boy, it isn't prevalent in music today. I mean, the options of people will just have put it out there and discussed in forums. Singles, songs once every month and a half, or a full album at once. It's almost like the Netflix or the cable TV model. What do you want?
Right.
I miss terribly the idea of an album being listened to and understood from front to back, because even if they're not concept albums, there's something there that ties them together, even on their worst day.
So, again, vanity. So for 37 years, I wrote entertainment for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. I would often interview musicians, and they would often – the reason I would be talking to them is because they just had a new record out. And that was one of my questions, Brian, was did you go in with, you know, a dozen songs already written, you knew what you were going to do, or did you go into the studio and just go where, you know, see where it went? And if it was see where it went, it was my next question was at what point did you realize there was some commonality? You know, were the songs, did you go in, you know, were you mad? Was it happy? Was it a breakup? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize?
When did the tone of the album start to come together?
Yeah. And that was always an interesting question because. You know,
it's a very different answer from a lot of different people's. And sometimes, I mean, it is just a collection of 12 songs.
Correct.
So sometimes it is, this is being sent to mix and mastering, and we'll let you know which 10 we choose.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
Exactly.
And we just had to have 12 because that's what the label said we had to have to make an album.
Yeah.
But then times it would be like, you know, there's a theme.
And there's four songs we had to cut because of time and content. Those are usually
I've always been fascinated by that.
Yeah. So I guess the simpler question just was, and it's not even a question, just thought, is it's just disappointing to me that that's not a focus for almost any band. And it's not because I would believe and guess that the the artists out there are moving away from it as much as their A&R guy is having to move away from it, and their and the machine is saying, that ain't important. Don't worry about that. Let's just pump out music and let's do it every other week, or let's put them all out today, or let's change it up. Like, it's less about a story and more about a production piece. That ain't new either.
I agree.
In digital consumption, which I'm not a big fan of, even though I do it all the time, it's just a different thing. You curate your own lists and all that, and now we're in a whole new discussion of lists. But
all right, so I'm gonna leave with a song, and I sent it to Russ, and I sent it to Brian. I don't know if you guys remember mixtapes when they were really mixtapes.
Of course,
but
I still have mixtapes.
I know.
From back in the day.
But back in the day, that was how people shared music. Mm-hmm. You can find
especially with the girl you wanted to hook up with.
Correct. And so, you know, for somebody to come in with like, oh my God, you're not going to believe this, I just burned you a copy. And so what I've sent, and you guys are going to hear, just a quick history. There was a guy named Blowfly that when I was working at the record bar in Eastgate Mall back in the 70s, Blowfly was the nastiest, dirtiest thing going.
Blowfly.
I'm pretty sure if he didn't invent rap, he gets a lot of credit for it. He was one of the first. It was disgusting. He was there's a documentary out there, and apparently when he was a kid picking cotton, literally, the white guys would give him a dollar or a quarter or whatever, and he would just say the most disgusting things, and they thought it was hilarious. He developed that, and he became a truck driver, and he used to make these mixtapes of these disgusting raps that he would do. And you would go to a truck stop, and you would get these, you know, bootleg mixtapes. So that's Blowfly. Okay. So... And Russ, I was so glad to hear you say, I remember 30 or so years ago, my friend gave me a VHS tape of Larry the Dick Man.
Oh, Larry Williams.
Williams, the Dick Man.
This is all new to me, by the way. Anybody out there?
D-I-C-K-E.
We're together on not knowing what any of this is.
Larry the Dick Man. He's giving directions to this guy, these people in a van.
Yeah, so they're not in a band. They're making a documentary.
Making a documentary, and they asked for directions.
And so they were in a city they were unfamiliar with. They decided to stop and ask for directions because they were trying to find something. This guy walks up, and he was just
a savant. He's like, you go to this traffic light, and you stop, and then you go to the next traffic light.
Tell you what to do.
We're going down to this Motel 6.
Oh, easy. I'll tell you what to do.
Okay.
Everywhere you got to go. Okay, you get to this yield sign, right?
Yeah, right.
You go down to that first light right there.
Right.
Okay, you go through that first light.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when you get to the second light, it's an intersection. One way go this way, it's a trick intersection. One way go this way, one way go straight through like this, and another way just go straight, period.
Right.
Okay, when you get to that second light, you take that bend. You take the light that bends.
To the left.
Well, I guess that would be to the left. Like going down here, that would be to the...
It's not the one that goes straight.
That'd be to the left. Yeah, to the left. You take the bend to the left. All right. You come to a library to the left. Another light.
It's hard to describe, but they were just so blown away with this dude that they just picked up the camera and started recording. And this is probably what... 92.
You said 30 years ago, and when you said that today, I blew my mind because I was like, God, it seemed like it was 10 years ago. But yeah, it's...
oh gosh, no, it goes back a long ways. And in the days before the internet and YouTube, when you could just pull
That's
up any
point.
Video ever, this is how you shared it. I mean, people would make copies of this VHS tape, and it just got passed around, and it was almost like an event. Like, oh my God, I just got this Larry Williams tape. Do you want to come over and watch it?
Have you seen? And my VHS also has The Farting Preacher.
Okay. Yeah, that was another one that got spread around.
Well,
yeah.
I am as of today, unfortunately.
And now listen to this. You go a little further. You get the one, God's for you. You get, he's with you. And then the last biggie, God's in you. Wow, man.
So these tapes went like so underground.
Oh my
and
God.
Just
bands almost... would bands would share them. I mean, that's how I got it was music band musicians mm-hmm. that I knew. They would share them. I mean, they had, you know, all those hours in a van, so that's
they
what
just
they would
dub the tapes,
tape, and it would. Yeah,
yeah, and your copy is probably a copy of a copy of a copy that somebody's dubbed and given away, and it's the quality's awful. You can barely watch it.
100%.
That was the only way you could see some of this stuff.
And I took it to the paper and showed it. I mean, people were tears. I mean, it was just so, you know, if you had it, you were the coolest guy, man. You had the tape.
And yeah, and so, it was almost like a competition to see who could get the coolest collection of underground skate videos or tapes or whatever.
All that is to lead into the song, the Christmas song that I'm going to leave you guys with. It's my gift, Oh Holy Night. It's the worst version ever done. It was a mixtape that my brother Bob, again, another musician, got mm-hmm. passed around. You know, the legend was that it was real. There's since been a documentary. The guy who actually sings it is a very, very good singer who did this
just
as a
joke. Making
a
goof, yeah.
But it will bring tears to your eyes. And
yeah, 20 years ago, the gag was one of the guys at the radio station I was working at did it when he got drunk one night over the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, just made up this whole story about it. And it's got a lot of lore in a lot of people's lives somewhere, whether you know it or not.
I love it, and it's kind of, you know, it loses something because, like you said, Russ, you can find all this stuff now on the internet. But back in the day, if you had that copy, man,
you had something nobody else did.
Yeah, you had something nobody else had.
So, right. Anything else before we go?
Well, I do want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
There he is. He always has. He has like three of them. Here it comes.
Well, and I just, you know, just for the engagement bait that we were kind of talking about,
there you go.
Leave a comment on Spotify or YouTube, wherever you're hearing this, and tell us your top five.
Absolutely.
I'm sure everyone has some good ideas.
Yeah,
that'd
be great.
Some, but
your top five, what you're listening, where you listen to us, what you think about, like, the different formats and the different, you know, it just if you're bored over the holidays, whatever, you know, or just none of the above, that's fine too. Go hang out with your family and friends, you know. Whatever.
I would say limit it to vinyl, though. I think that's key.
Sure,
if you can.
Because if you start talking CDs and tapes,
it gets all. It's got to be vinyl.
We love all the comments. Please continue to. You know, to tell us what you think, and just going back to the Spotify rap thing, it's been a wild year for all of us, and just happy that we have so many people that are fans and like to listen, and we love reaching out.
Spotify is. I mean, if you're in between trying to figure out a good place to consume audio and visual. I mean, I just think Spotify is king. I think it's great. I love it. I mean, I know they don't pay their, you know, I know all the stuff. I know all the stuff, right? All the headline Twitter tweets. I get it. It's still a hell of an interface, and it really works well. I love Spotify. So
yeah. It does, and they add all kinds of new features all the time.
It's a constant upgrade, and it never feels like when your favorite thing gets upgraded, and you're like, God damn it, I got to spend the day. You know, your email gets reshuffled or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And you always figure it out. You always will, because we always have. But it's still frustrating. They constantly tweak. They constantly have updates. And I never look at it and be like, well, they ruined Spotify for me today. It's just, to me, it's the king of distribution apps, even though they screw over everybody that they supposedly help. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
They're certainly not paying us.
No, they're not.
All right, so we're going to take some time off. I don't know how much, actually. If Bonnaroo comes out with something, then we have to jump back on. We'll jump back on, but we're definitely going to take at least a week, maybe 2 weeks off, and wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Have a great holiday.
Agreed. Got an exciting year.
It's been
great. It's been a great year, and 25's looking... Well, music-wise.
Thank you.
25's looking good.
Let's re-clarify.
Only talk about festivals.
Yeah.
We'll leave the rest of it out. Unless y'all want it. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Of course not. I'm kidding.
See you guys.
See y'all.
Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Christ was born.